I'm Leslie Canham.
I'm Mary Gavoni.
I'm Linda Harvey.
I'm Olivia Wan, and together we are the Compliance Divas.
Welcome to the Compliance Divas podcast. I'm Mary Gavoni. I'll be your moderator for this episode. And our goal as the Compliance Divas is to bring clarity and simplicity to regulatory compliance to help keep our listeners on course. You can subscribe to the Compliance Divas podcast through your favorite podcast channel or on our website, thecompliancedivas.com. All of the resources that we will mention during the podcast today are current as of the broadcast of this podcast, which is July 7th, 2021, and they can be found on the Compliance Divas website at thecompliancedivas.com. You can always submit questions, and we'll be happy to answer them. Questions can be submitted by email to support@thecompliancedivas.com. Well, Divas, a few weeks ago, we did a podcast on the new OSHA Emergency Temporary Standard, and the basic information that we have received about this standard is that dentistry is, for the most part, exempt from this new standard. But there still is a lot of confusion out there, which is why we've decided to revisit the topic again so quickly, because we want to make sure that we can help dispel some of the confusion and help dental practices and our listeners out there to really understand what their responsibilities are right now to protect themselves and patients. So, Linda, my question for you is, how does a dental practice document that they meet the criteria to be exempt from the emergency temporary standard?
Mary, that's a really important question because, you know, when a dentist and their teams are looking at this standard and want to automatically assume that they are exempt, they're exempt if they meet the required conditions in this program. And I would refer everyone first to download the wonderful flow sheet that's on the OSHA website, which we'll make sure is available on our website as well, that will help them go through the process of looking at the algorithm of how to be sure they're exempt and how to remain exempt. And there are three criteria for this. The first one is the fact that you have to be a non-hospital ambulatory setting, which dental practices meet by default. It's the next two that can sometimes be challenging because it does require that all non-employees are screened prior to entry. And that means our patients, visitors, and guests have to be screened before they enter the dental practice. And I know fellow divas, we're all experiencing the same situation day after day with our clients and other members of the dental community that we're in touch with. You know, patients are getting tired of it. Do I still have to be doing it? Patients are threatening to leave their practice and go elsewhere. And the important thing is to be able to explain to them that this has to be done. And I suggest they get out ahead of it and use their patient communication tool to let patients know that you are either re-implementing the screening process or that you are continuing it and explaining that it's required at this time for dentistry and try to enlist them to help you be compliant. But they have to be screened, and that includes the questions and the temperature checks. And yes.
Great explanation, Linda, but I still have another question for you. Does screening patients still involve both asking questions, like when you confirm appointments or patients come into the office about symptoms, and temperature checks, or do we just have to ask the questions?
Well, but when you go back to the flow sheet, Mary, I'm going to tell you another little tip that will help answer that question. And that is the fact that people with suspected or confirmed COVID-19 are not permitted to enter. So how can we begin to determine if someone is suspected or confirmed? Of course, obviously, without a test, we don't know 100%, but we have to do the due diligence in order to meet the requirements of this federal law. So yes, the temperature check and the screening questions are still required.
Great. Thank you. Olivia, we are hearing so much information now in the news about the very infectious Delta variant of the COVID virus, the SARS-CoV-2 virus. How does that affect dental practices right now, since many are exempt from the OSHA ETS, But what about wearing respirators and still wearing face coverings? How does that Delta variant factor in?
Mary, before I address that, I would like to mention that it's a good idea for dental practices to learn more about the Delta variant. I thought it was interesting to know that about 10% of the cases of COVID in the United States right now are of the Delta variant. And from what I've read, the Delta variant is a highly transmissible COVID variant first identified in India. And matter of fact, I have a colleague that is from India, and he mentioned to me last week that he has lost multiple friends and family members to COVID. Now, CDC designated this variant of concern, meaning that the variant may carry a risk of more severe illness and transmissibility. So you've probably heard about the long COVID, and that's the version of COVID where people become very ill for an extended period of time with adverse effects. So from what we understand right now, the vaccine works well against all variants in the US, including the Delta variant, with a high degree of protection. But remember, if you're not vaccinated, you should wear a mask. And so we're not excused from that right now. So with the ETS standard, we realize that some people opt out of being vaccinated for various reasons, whether that's religious or medical compromise, but we have to take precautions to protect those who are not vaccinated. And leading officials state that even fully vaccinated Americans should take precautions. And that would mean wearing a mask and social distancing, and you need policies for that. But getting back to your question, Mary, about the respirators, I think that with this knowledge, dental professionals need to take a serious look at respirators, because the guidance tells us from CDC that if we are doing an aerosol generating procedure, we should wear a respirator. And so why people would let their guard down, knowing that 10% of the COVID cases are now the Delta variant, would be very surprising. And so I hope that our listeners will take a close look at this.
Great. Thanks, Olivia. And one of the resources that we will post on the Compliance Divas website is the information that you mentioned for our listeners to learn more about the Delta variant, because the CDC has a wealth of information on their site about that. So, Leslie, how does the CDC guidance affect or interact, or is it affected at all by the emergency temporary standard? So if practice is exempt from the ETS, does that mean that they don't have to follow any CDC guidance for COVID? Can they go back to the old pre-pandemic protocols for infection prevention?
Well, actually, no, because at this point, Mary, we are still operating under the guidance for dental settings. It's called Interim Infection Prevention and Control for Dental Settings during Coronavirus Disease 2019. That is the December 4th, 2020 document that I'm referring to. As of this moment in time, there has been no change to that document. OSHA relies heavily on CDC to make their determination whether a dental practice is following the safety plans and setting up a situation for their employees to protect them. And at this point, OSHA is very concerned about the unvaccinated employee. Now, vaccinated employees, as we've heard from Olivia and what we hear from the news and from science and from the experts, is that we're pretty well protected. However, this is a novel virus, so we still need to make sure that we take precautions. I like that Olivia had mentioned that respirators should still be used. I agree with that, because it's not just COVID that we are faced with. There are many other different transmissible, aerosol transmissible diseases that are we can be exposed to when we're providing dental care for patients. In California, we have an aerosol transmissible disease standard. So we know that when we use a device that generates aerosols, that just from experience and from conversations we've had as divas in the past, we get pummeled with all sorts of things from the patient's oral cavity. And there's aerosols that generate and that float around the room for long periods at a time. Measles, for example, is a 2 hour time frame that it can be generated and be aerosolized in a room without settling. So we really do need to follow the CDC guidance. Even though we may be exempt from the emergency temporary standard, the guidance doesn't give us guidance for some of the new information today. Vaccinated employees versus unvaccinated employees. In December, we didn't have the numbers of vaccinated individuals that we have today. And I just want to make a quick point. Some of the calls that I've been getting from clients and from my audiences has to do with wearing a mask. You know, if we're all fully vaccinated in a dental practice, can we discontinue wearing the face covering in the non-clinical areas and areas like, not like the sterilization room, in our common spaces, reception area, front office area. And the CDC guidance for healthcare settings still requires us to wear a face covering. And it's not just, for unvaccinated employees, OSHA's concerned about employees, whereas CDC, they care about everybody. They care about the patient. They care about, the employee. They care about businesses, the world. And there are people who cannot, for one reason or another, get the vaccination. So they either have other conditions that make it impossible and may not be just a choice for them. So people with disabilities that enter our practice as well, we need to make sure that we're protecting them. And the other thing that I think is a little bit interesting about OSHA is that very few people go forward after they hear the word exempt. So the ETS, if you're exempt from the emergency temporary standard, you're exempt, that's it, right? You're done. That's not the case. OSHA still requires us to have written COVID-19 plans. So we cannot be exempt from that. And in developing those written plans, that's where we find all of the other policies come together for us in a dental setting. So I recommend that every dental practice sit down with the team. And if you don't have written COVID-19 plans, get on that and get the questions out in the open. And of course, as the compliance divas, we're committed to answering questions. So send us questions to our support at thecompliancedivas.com. If you don't have the answer and you need that for your team, we'll be happy to get you the information along with the resources to back up our statement.
Great, Leslie. Thank you. I think one of the many things that's caused confusion in dental practices has been, especially surrounding the issue of wearing masks, is that, of course, the masking requirements or recommendations from the CDC in public settings have been changed, and vaccinated individuals are not recommended or required to wear a mask in a public setting, whether it's outdoors or indoors any longer, although there's some controversy now with this Delta variant, whether they should or shouldn't. The World Health Organization says that everyone should, and the CDC still says if you're vaccinated, you don't need to. But those recommendations, that guideline or guidance from the CDC about public settings does not apply to healthcare settings. So I know early on in the pandemic, when we saw some frequent changes to the CDC guidelines, it frustrated us tremendously. And now that we haven't had an update to the CDC guidelines, as Leslie was saying, that refers to vaccinated versus unvaccinated employees, we're getting equally as frustrated. So Linda, where are we at with any updates on the horizon for the CDC guidance?
Mary, frustrated is a great term to use in describing our dental teams and our audiences, because they are more than ready, and so are the patients, to not be wearing masks and to go back to what the normal way was before. And of course, we all know that's not possible anymore. But we do know, on good word, that the CDC has updated the dental guidance, and it has been a long time coming, and we're waiting for it eagerly to be released any day. And as Leslie said, it's been since December since we've had any word. And last spring and summer, every 4 to 6 weeks, there were updates, and we were racing like crazy to keep up with that and help get accurate information out to the dental community. And now it's like it's long overdue that we're kind of a little impatient, if you will, like Christmas Eve. When is Christmas coming? When's it going to be here? So right now we have to follow the December 4th, 2020 dental guidelines. And OSHA is requiring dental practices to follow those CDC guidelines because OSHA uses those guidelines in their enforcement processes and in their inspections. They rely on the CDC guidance for dentistry. They rely on standard precautions. They recite transmission-based precautions and all the other different guidelines that CDC has published. And so we have to be in compliance, or for one thing, it's the right thing to do. And two, we stand to have an OSHA fine or complaint if we're not in compliance.
Great, Linda. Thank you. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that it's the right thing to do, because we all need to be subscribing to a code of ethics as dental professionals. And that is doing the right thing to protect not only patients, but ourselves as well. And I'm quite sure that we will get some questions from listeners wanting to know, where exactly does it say, where does OSHA say in writing that we have to follow CDC guidance? And Linda, I think you have an answer for that.
I don't remember the name of the document at this moment, but yes, I have an answer. One of the OSHA documents and guidance documents that's been published in the past year mentions the fact that we follow, and they don't use the phrase CDC, but they mention standard precautions, airborne precautions, and respiratory protection precautions. And as we know in the industry, OSHA doesn't write those precautions, but CDC does. So they are indirectly referencing the CDC guidelines at those times.
Thank you, Linda. And the one thing that I want to add to what you shared with us is that OSHA did issue in March of this year guidance for inspectors, enforcement guidance that does specifically say that CDC guidelines must be followed. And again, it does mention following standard precautions and respiratory precautions and so forth, but it does specifically say that CDC guidance must be followed. So if anyone needs a copy of that statement, we will post that in the resources on the compliancedivas.com. Leslie.
And, you know, in addition to the guidance, the citations speak for themselves. Dental practices are getting cited, and we don't want dental practices to be sending money to OSHA. We want dental practices to be improving their own team training and have team Christmas parties, not spending money on paying for OSHA fines and citations.
Absolutely, Leslie. Thank you. So, Olivia, we're going to wrap up this episode with some information that is also very, very important for dental practices, and that is the OSHA instituted National Emphasis Program. And my question is, if a dental practice is exempt from the emergency temporary standard, does that also exempt them from the National Emphasis Program?
Not at all, Mary. And I think it's a good idea for our listeners to recognize the fact that a temporary program, such as this National Emphasis Program, focuses on a particular hazard for high-risk workers. And OSHA has identified that dental workers are among those at greater risk. And so even if a dental office classifies themselves as being exempt from the emergency temporary standard, they are not exempt from complying with OSHA. And that means, as we have all pointed out during this episode, that they must be in compliance with CDC's recommendations for dental settings. And so all of this goes hand in hand in promoting safety in dentistry. And remember, OSHA is regulatory and they focus on the safety of the employees. It is not optional. And therefore, we must align ourselves with CDC's published guidance in being very specific on how we promote safety in a dental office for our team members. And of course, CDC focuses on patient safety as well. But I think this can be very misleading if someone thinks that they're exempt from ETS, that they're exempt from other things. And I also want to point out, Mary, that when dental offices have been cited during this pandemic, they may have come in over a complaint relevant to COVID-19. But once OSHA came in, they identified other hazards not related to COVID, such as bloodborne pathogen standard. You know, they come in and they audit records and they find other violations that may not have been part of the initial allegation of a safety issue. So once again, we just have to be very serious about our safety programs. And we are so pleased with all of the followers that we have with this podcast, because we are saving you time. You have four consultants working hard behind the scenes to sift through all these documents, guidance, regulations, so we can boil it down to something very simple.
Great. Thanks, Olivia. And one of the other things that we may want to mention is that all of us are always looking forward. What is OSHA's focus? What's on their regulatory agenda and so forth, besides monitoring what's happening with CDC guidance and guidelines? And one of the things that is on OSHA's regulatory agenda to complete at some point, as they have said, this year is an airborne infectious diseases standard, because diseases that are transmissible through the air are not specifically addressed in the bloodborne pathogen standard. So far, they're only addressed in all the interim guidance and so forth for COVID-19. So don't throw out your respirators, because we may be required to continue to wear them because we are at high risk. So we thank you all for tuning into this episode, and we hope that you will join us again next week for the next episode. We bring clarity and simplicity by helping you navigate regulatory compliance to keep you current, keep you on course. Again, you can submit questions to support@thecompliancedivas.com, and resources that are mentioned in this episode will be on our website, thecompliancedivas.com, and they are listed by the episode date and the title of the episode. So we hope that you will avail yourself of those resources, and please ask us any questions. Thanks again for joining us, and be safe.